could we bow our heads and pray? Lord, the words that we sang have so much meaning and our minds go so far. Lord, you know our daily walk, the struggles that we face. You also know how we reach out our hearts and our hands to you. And God, we ask in Jesus' name, help us to draw nigh to you. Help us to put our faith in you in a stronger way. Help us to trust you. Help us to be and become all that you have for us, Lord. God, Lord, so many times it seems we're satisfied with a couple mercy drops and the couple, you know, the couple things that we have. But Lord, help us to reach out for more. Just now we ask for your continued presence to be here. Lord, thank you for the good word that you've been giving us. And we ask in Jesus' name, would you please come and shower more of your word upon us. And Lord, help us to receive it. We ask, Lord, that you'd give me clear thoughts and the ability to communicate and give me a clear burden from you. And Lord, we all put our eyes on you. Thank you for this good day. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the vale with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Such beautiful words. I love it. It's just, that's just so refreshing. That song has so much, so much, so much. I don't know, did I? Spell it all right, but you know how I do sometimes. This morning, I considered having a sermon, especially to the mothers, because it's Mother's Day. But a year ago, I did, and so I decided I'm just going to leave it. But I want to especially express thanks to all the mothers that are here in the room here this morning. And I want to encourage all of you that have mothers. There's some here that maybe your mother has passed away. But if you still have a mother, I would encourage you to do something about that today in blessing her in some way. You younger children, and us as adults as well. Today is Mother's Day, and we're very grateful. Last year, I forget the exact title of the sermon, but it was a tribute to the mothers or something of that nature. But that's one thing we don't want to neglect here, is just a recognition. It seems like we can sort of easily forget everything that happens. Last night, Martha had the thing that she was reading, and you know, it was these little comments that children ask their mom, and it was one after the other, and it was like, you know, 20 or 30 little phrases and questions that moms get, and in the end there was one that, and this is a question that dads get: where is mom? Now, I think that might be stretched a little bit, you know, as a dad, you know, you get lots of questions too, but there is something about mothers that's very precious. So thank you to all of you moms here this morning. It is, it's a real blessing that you can serve in that capacity. It's a very great blessing. So the title this morning is Outward Adornment. A number of weeks ago, I shared a sermon, and it was sort of in preparation for this, and what I shared a couple weeks ago was inward adornment, and in some of the scriptures that we're looking at, it very clearly prepares a foundation, and the heart of this whole sermon is the need for inward adornment. And so today, what we're going to look at is the externals, the external part of all that. But I'd like to just reference back to that and say that at the heart of it all is the inward adornment. Inward adornment. For a couple of scriptures, if you could turn in your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. We want to read a couple of scriptures here before we go on into the sermon. But the title again is Outward Adornment. Outward Adornment. Might also just mention as you're looking up that verse for us to read, I'd like to just mention that for many Christians in today's society have a very different view of the whole subject of taking scriptures literally. And I remember in bygone days having discussions with various other, quote, Christians, various groups, and some of my brothers from the Pentecostal church, this is what they told me. He said, you brothers believe in taking the scripture literally and doing what it says. And he said, we believe in simply believing the Bible. I don't know if you follow the difference. You brothers believe in taking the scripture and simply taking it literally and doing what it says. And we simply take the Bible and we believe it. And that can go to many different places, but I think that expresses, as we look at some of the very practical things on the subject, I know it's been a number of years that I've preached on the subject, and it's one of the things that I think it's good for us to look at Scripture, look at these things practically from time to time, and I do so with the heart of us somehow capturing the heart of it, okay? And sometimes we get all caught up in the details and all of these, various things, but if we could somehow capture the heart of the burden that Paul and Peter were communicating when they talked about these subjects, I think it'll help us to be at a good place. 1 Timothy chapter 2, we want to start reading. I think we'll just drop in verse 8. We could start earlier, but I think we'll drop in verse 8 where it says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And that is just as literal as the other scriptures that come on down. Lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Verse 9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. I think I'll stop there. And if we could also turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3, we'll read a couple verses in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll start reading in verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold their chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. In looking at the subject of outward adornment, the scriptures that we're going to be looking at are specifically directed to sisters. And I'm going to say that back in the days when these scriptures were written, I'm going to say there was probably less push for men to have the external adornment than there is today. Today, with all the commercialization of selling clothes and everything, that all the designer stuff that goes on, there's a higher level of push for the men as well as the ladies. And I believe it would not be good for us to just look at our sisters as we look at this subject. And I'd like to lift up the idea that this is for us men to love and appreciate and to have an appreciation for what Scripture teaches. I would like to say that I think there is, if we're very honest, God made our sisters with an inward desire to make themselves, what's the right word? Nice and appealing, right? But that ought to be for their husband and not for everyone else, right? You know, could we say that? And God actually put that desire within women, and it's for that reason that it's specifically addressed, because it seems like there is a higher motivation for some of this within sisters than it is within men, but us men have it too, right? It's that way. Okay. So, sisters, we're not leaving the brothers off the hook here. This is for all of us together, although it is specifically geared toward the sisters, but it's for all of us. And having said that, as we go on through here, I would like to make application to both the men and the ladies as we look at the scriptures. I'd also like to maybe mention here or consider that scripture is largely written in principle. Scripture is largely written in principle. And let me just explain what I mean by that. When God inspired men of old to write the Word of God, what we have here today, it was done in such a way that the heart, the principles were given, and then a lot of the application was left open for us to have to choose how we apply Scripture in a very practical way. And if it wouldn't have been done that way, Scripture would not be as applicable to all cultures in the world today. Or if you look at how cultures were 5,000 years ago in comparison today, it's very different. And yet the same principles that we have today could have been put into the setting 5,000 years ago, and then they make practical application with where they are in their setting in their day. And in the same way, we do that here today. We make practical application in our culture and in our setting that we find ourselves, how to practically apply the scripture. And now if I say principle versus application, let me explain that a bit to us. And I'm just going to use a subject that we're not going to be talking about here this morning. But I'd like to just use the subject of covering the head. In 1 Corinthians 11, it speaks about women covering their heads. And it uses a simple terminology that says that women should cover their head. That's the principle. Right? Now the application is, on a very practical level, here's some questions that we could ask ourselves as to how to make practical application for a sister to cover her head. Let me just put some questions out here. As an example, what should be used for a woman to cover her head? Here's another question. Should it be a cap? Should it be a veil? Should it be a hat? Or should it be a kerchief? Or what should it be? Okay, the very practical application of that is left for us to sort through as to how that should be. Scripture doesn't clearly define how that principle should be applied. But then, as we look at the whole of Scripture, we look at that principle and we sort through where we find ourselves today, how we should practically apply that principle for us where we live today. Here's more questions that we could ask ourselves in light of the principle that was given. So the principle is to cover the head. Now here's some more questions we could ask. How much of the head should be covered? Here's another question. Is it okay to cover with see-through material? Here's another question we could ask. Is it okay to decorate the covering with lace? Here's another question we could ask. When should it be worn? And there's all kinds of questions that can be come back to the principle, and the principle is that a woman should cover her head. Then on the practical side, we look at it, and we as brothers in this local fellowship, we look at these things and we decide jointly as to how we practically apply these principles in our local setting. We also realize if we'd be living in a different country, in a different culture, it might end up a bit different than what we do it right here. And yet, if you look at the heart of it, it ought to be at a similar place. Okay, so we're looking at principle and then us making practical application to those, to the things that Scripture teaches us. And that is the beauty. That's the beauty of Scripture being written with principles, and the Bible is timeless. Everything in Scripture applies to every generation. Every Scripture in the whole Bible applies very practically to every generation, every culture, every nation, across the whole globe. 5,000 years ago to 2021, it's all very applicable for us today. It never grows old. It's always very applicable for us today. Here's another little heading that I have in light of looking at outward adorning. And I'm just going to say that if I could use this terminology, that there are things in our culture today that specifically militates against are the things that we're going to teach here this morning. There are things that militate against it. And let me just share with you a couple, okay? So, for many years, we had a furniture business where we manufactured bedroom furniture. And so the best thing that I would have just enjoyed doing it is having three styles of bedroom furniture and just manufacture bedroom furniture, and we never design any new furniture. But guess what happens? In the whole world, or in the across the U.S., when it comes to marketing and staying in business, you constantly have to come out with new designs. And you look at what is appealing. What's going to be appealing to the people when they walk into the store to buy a set of furniture? What's going to be appealing to them? And so as you look at designing furniture, and you know, we did that for many years, right? Okay. As we look at that, we look and we try to understand what people like. We try to understand what appeals to people. And so when we design everything from the design to the colors to the hardware to everything, it's all geared toward pleasing ourselves, right? And pleasing the people. And so we come into a mode of looking at what's best. You know, we come into the thing where we try to figure out how we can appeal to people and you know, make everything the nicest and the best and the greatest and all those things. And let me tell you, those ideas militate against the Word of God when we try to apply those things on a personal level. We come into a place where we are geared toward doing that to ourselves. I don't know, do you follow with that? Do you follow what I'm saying with that? Here we are, we're trying, you know, in order to stay in business, and let me just tell you, I'd be long out of business if I wouldn't do that. I mean, you know, I'd be long out of business. And even today with the manufacturing we do with sheds, you know, if we wouldn't look at colors and designs and all these different things and try to put things out there that appeal to the customer, if we wouldn't do that, we would be out of business. I know we don't have a whole lot of farmers in our midst today. We have a couple, but not that many. But when it comes to milking the cows, you know, there is such a thing as show cows, and there is such a thing as, you know, the whole fair thing, and obviously we're not involved with those things or race horses and all that. But when it comes to farming, those things are at a very minimal level. And now let me just take a couple steps farther. We also, when it comes to, it's not only in us when we do marketing, it's also for us when we go to the store. So we go to the store and we look at painting our house and we walk in, and how many different colors of paint is there? Many, many different colors of paint. And we look at the nicest colors, and we look at the nicest combinations, and we look at, if you buy lawnmowers, the lawnmowers are specifically made to cut the grass in a way that you've got all this nice striping, and you've got, you know, it's just endless. Everywhere you go, everything is geared toward making everything beautiful. And then here we look at these scriptures, and the scripture says that women shouldn't adorn themselves. And the men, is it okay for you to adorn yourself, men? No. Okay, so I guess my goal in sharing this is to bring an awareness. It's to bring an awareness that in the society that we're living in, and with the work and everything we find ourselves, there is something that militates against Scripture. And while we need to be doing these things to some level in a practical, when we come to business and work and making a living and all these kind of things, there's an aspect where some of these things we have to be doing. I'd like to just put out the idea that with all that, we have to come back and realize that if we adopt those ideas and live by that in a personal way, we'll end up at a place that's contrary to the Word of God. Now, here's another heading that I have here. It says, not fashioning ourselves as we did in our former lust. And I want to look at the scripture here in a little bit. But I want to consider the idea that in our earlier days, prior to us getting converted and prior to us getting right with God, there is a former lust that we lived in. There is a former lust that we had and that we followed after. And if you grew up in a home that maybe taught good principles and good teaching, maybe you weren't as far indulged in some of these things. But then there's others of us that maybe were more fully indulged in just pursuing our lust, the lust of our flesh, and in pursuing those things with all of our heart, you know? But I'd like to just say that there was a former lust. Scripture says here, as obedient children, not fashioning ourselves according to the former lusts in our ignorance. There's a former lust that we pursued in our ignorance. And it says, not fashioning ourselves as we did in our former lust. Now, I'm going to give you a bit of an illustration to help us understand that, okay? I want us to connect what we're talking about. And for many of us here, we know our dear brother Vinny, right? Our dear brother Vinny. And you look at him today, and if you would have seen him back when he was pursuing that former lust, he would have been you wouldn't recognize him. Okay? He said, it's okay if I describe it a bit, okay? He said, it's all right if I do that. So I'm going to describe, that a bit. Now, I chose this description because I think it helps us to relate to the idea, all right? But back in Brother Vinny's younger days, if you would have met him somewhere as a teenager, this is how he would have looked, okay? And this is how he would have fashioned himself. He was one of those that his pants were 4 inches below the waistline. He was one of those that had 3 silver chains hanging across his body here. He was one of those that had a buzz haircut with one of those do rags on top to underneath his hat, he had one of those on. He was one of those that had big round earrings hanging on his ears. He was one of those that had silver bracelets, and he had finger rings, and he had this look that said, "You don't mess with me." And all that came because there was an identity that he had. He was trying to identify. He was trying to identify with the rap and the hip-hop culture. He was trying to identify with that. It was a gangster style. And the way that he lived his lifestyle and the way he dressed, that's who he was. That's who he identified with. And with him listening to that kind of music and being in that type of, you know, trying to identify with that kind of culture, that's how he lived. That's how he dressed. That's who he was. And Scripture says, as obedient children, not fashioning ourselves according to the former lusts in our ignorance. Now, I'm going to say that for many of us here, our former lusts would look a little bit different than that, right? But I like to suggest that for many of us, there were things going in our heart that was driving the things that we were pursuing and the way we were dressing and the things we were doing. There were things that was motivating and pushing that. And since we have become a child of God, since we love Christ and we want to be identified with His kingdom and His people, and we want to be Christ-like, now we come and we try to fashion ourselves into the image of Christ and according to His teachings, and we try to do and become like He would want us to be and identify clearly with His kingdom and His people. Do you follow that? And it's different. And I like to suggest that there are times that we still want to identify back here with our old life, with our former, fashioning ourselves according to the former things. And if I can somehow convey the heart of everything I want to share here today, the heart of it all is that we somehow have a heart that says, God, how can I fashion myself? God, how can I be and become and dress and everything I do that just makes me like Christ? Isn't that the heart of what we want? And then, in some of the scriptures we want to look at today, it just says, don't do this and don't do this and don't do this. And let me tell you, we can don't do this and we can don't do that, and we can still be fashioning ourselves in many ways. Right? We can still be fashioning ourselves, and if we say no to this, it'll come out over here. Because our heart is somehow far away from where God wants us to really be. And if we can somehow come to the place where we have a heart that says, God, I want to be like You. You know, Brother Vinny's heart, he was like, I want to be this. You know, ask him, he can tell you. Right? All right? And for many of us here, maybe it was in a much milder sense, because maybe you were raised in a God-fearing home. But let me tell you, I know for me, and I know for all of us, there was a former lust, and there was a things that we were bent after, right? And this is what Scripture says. It simply says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Now, we're not ignorant anymore, right? We're not ignorant anymore. Okay. Here's some deceptive ideas. And I could have made a whole list of them, but I just put two down. Because I want us to realize that there's a lot of deceptive ideas out there. And God help us that we don't follow after some of these ideas. Here's some of the deceptive ideas. If our heart is right, the external doesn't matter. You've heard that one, right? If the heart is right, the external doesn't matter, or it'll just take care of itself. And I'd like to just simply say that at the heart of that, it's true. If the heart really is right, things on the external will come to a good place or right place, right? I'd like to say that's true. And yet the way this is used many times is not true. If our heart is right, the external doesn't matter. It does matter. The external does matter. The external will become Christ-like if the internal is right. Here's another deceptive idea. It is wrong for the church to define specific application if Scripture does not spell it out. I think many of us have heard this. Let me ask you a question. Where in the Bible does it say that a woman shouldn't wear pants? No, specifically, it has to say about the specific of pants. See, we're looking at it, it has to specifically say it. Where in the Bible does a scripture say that a woman should not wear pants? It doesn't, yes. Do you have the scripture? Okay, thank you. I'd love to see that. If you can find that, I'd love to see that. New Testament, let me just, as we go on down through here, we're going to look at some of the definition, and it's very clear. Scripture is very clear, but sometimes people will look at this and they will take this and say, well, you know, if the Bible doesn't clearly define it, we can't take a position as a brotherhood in making practical application. I'd like to suggest that, yes, we can. Well, actually, not only we can, we need to. We need to take Scripture and specifically make and define and make practical application. And as we go on down through here, you know, I'm going to actually look at some very clear scriptures in regards to wearing a dress versus pants. And we're going to look at that. But the idea, let me just come back here. The idea that it's wrong for a church to define specific application if Scripture does not spell it out is a wrong teaching. It's wrong teaching. Now, I would like to go on. And Brother Samuel, if you could find that scripture sometime, I'd love to see that. Somehow. Oh, yeah, do you have it, Brother Joel? Deuteronomy 22:5. Yeah, let's just turn there. Deuteronomy 22:5. It's an Old Testament scripture. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination to the Lord thy God. Well, that's not, yes. Thank you, brother. This is the scripture that Brother Jared was referring to. But it doesn't specifically say about women not wearing pants. Now, it refers to not wearing each other's clothing. That's a very clear principle. But it doesn't give that specific. Okay. Now, I'd like to go on with another heading. And here are some of the specifics that Scripture gives warnings against. So, in coming up to this, we were endeavoring to, for us to get the heart, the principle of where we're going. Now we want to look at just some of the specifics that Scripture, or that's put out here. Now, in 1 Peter and in Timothy, there's a couple phrases that are used. And I want to just put out these phrases. And the first one is specifically, it has to do with hair adornment. Now, since the ladies are the only ones that have hair, this doesn't apply to the men, right? Okay, but we're looking at hair adornment. Hair adornment, and it gives some specifics here. Okay, it says, not plaiting the hair and not with broided hair. Okay, it says, not plaiting the hair, not with broided hair. Now first, before we get into the specifics of what those words mean, I'd like to have feedback. What do you think is at the heart of this? Tell me that. What's at the heart of these phrases? Anyone?
Fashion.
Drawing attention to yourself. What's at the heart of these phrases? Others. Others.
Pride.
Pride, yeah, good. Am I right in saying that there's two little phrases that are used here, but am I right that there's many ways to adorn your hair? Yeah, am I right with that? And do you think that maybe if we'd stay away from these two phrases right here, it'd be okay to do everything else? Now help me with that. You know, would that be okay if, you know, these two phrases that it uses specifically about the hair, do you think it'd be okay if we'd stay away from that, but then we can do anything else?
You're missing
the point. All right. So, are you with me on the idea that when it talks about adorning the hair, it gives some specifics here, but at the heart of this whole thing is that somehow we don't use our hair to adorn ourselves. You know, am I right in saying that? Just down to earth. Put everything else aside. That's it. Now, sisters, is it okay for you to obey the Bible here in this word, but not the guys? They're not okay with that. They're not okay with that. What do you think, guys? Do you think it's okay, or do you think it's needful for the sisters to obey the word, but you can sort of do what you want? Do you think that'd be okay? They don't think so, right? Okay. I think we're all sort of on the same page here, right? I think we're on the same page. At the heart of this thing is, at the heart of it, you know, we have a couple specifics here, but if you boil everything else down, at the heart of it all is that sisters and brothers don't use their hair to adorn themselves and make themselves look prideful or make themselves pretty. And I'm just going to say, am I right that there's a lot of different styles and fashions that women do today that are prideful? Yeah, am I right in saying that? And what about the guys? Guys, how is it for you? Is there a lot of hair fashions that you all or that are out there? I'll just have to confess what I did last night. So last night, I went and I used Google. You know what Google is? And I Googled men's hair fashions of today, of 2020. And then I put in ladies' hair fashions 2020. And you know what? I discovered that there's some hair fashions that guys are doing that are you know, they're pretty up to snuff on. And some of the hair fashions specifically on men that are pretty up to snuff are the real tightly shaved head and then real long on top. That's in style, in fashion today. That's one of the in things. And while it might not be in every circle and every place, that's in style out there. It really is. Okay, now I won't go any farther with all that, but let me just tell you. Let me just tell you that people literally follow styles and fashions and fads, and they just follow that. And Scripture says we should not adorn ourselves or not fashion ourselves as we did in our former lusts. God help us, right? God help us. All right. Now, just back to these specifically two phrases here. Not plaiting the hair or broided hair. Now, as I look at these words, if you look up these words in Strong's, the plaited hair and the broided hair, it gives the idea of braided hair, or actually it's an elaborate braid. And I know that there are people who maybe braid their little girls with braids. And I've been asked a question already, does that come into what this means? You know, I've been asked a question that already. You know, I've been asked that question already. I would like to suggest, okay, this says elaborate braids. If you look it up, what I get out of it is that it's an elaborate braid. And if I say elaborate braid, what comes to my mind is something specifically like African-American children do, or what they, you know, how they're those elaborate braids with the things intertwined, and that's what comes to my mind. Now, with that, the way that many little girls maybe have braids to just keep their hair so they don't go all over the place, I don't know that I necessarily put that into this category. I do know that there are some that specifically steer away from that because of that. And I'm not here to try to justify or go any either way on that. But I think at the heart of what this is saying is an elaborate braid that really ornaments the hair. And so here's the point. The point is styled to make yourself look pretty and elaborate. And that can be done. Actually, it's sort of the in thing for some sisters to sort of put some braids in their hair. I don't know. Have you seen it recently? Put braids. This is for older women, girls and older women. I'm not talking about little girls. I'm talking about older women to put braids in their hair as a part of their whole thing. That's sort of the in thing. I would say that would come in there. Okay. But let's come back and say the heart of it is an elaborate doing things. You know, these days are all kinds of dragging the hair all over the place. You know, back when I was a young boy, they had these poofing in the front, and that's not in style today, so there's none of you that you would even think of doing that because it's not in style today. But you know, it used to be. But you get the point? There's all kinds of things. Scripture, when everything shakes down for you, for us men and women, a simple a simple hairstyle that doesn't draw attention. That's at the heart. And if you're trying to draw attention, it's out of order. It's out of order. Okay. Here's some other warnings. Here's some other warnings about adornment. Adornment with gold or jewelry. And this is, again, this was geared toward sisters. And, but, you know, men do it today too. I remember, I'm just going to say it's probably between 15 and 20 years ago that out here at the Berlin Elementary, there was a boy that came in there and he started wearing earrings. A boy, and it was against code in the school, and he started wearing earrings, and it created a big ruckus. I mean, it was in the local news and things, and because there was this push to allow boys to wear earrings too. There has been a major shift. What used to be that it was primarily the sisters or the ladies that really adorned themselves, there's been a major shift in all of those things because of the transgender, all of those types of things. There's been a major shift that men are into a lot of these things as well. Okay, now here are some of the specifics that are given. It says, not gold or pearls. Not gold or pearls. Now, okay, now let me just ask a question. It specifically mentions gold or pearls. So then it must be okay if I wear big brown earrings. Would that be okay? It wouldn't. Why not? It's adornment. It's adornment. Okay. All right. So what about studs in my cheek here or in my lip? What about brown studs here? Would that be okay? Yeah. What about appreciating? Brother Dirk is saying, what about just appreciating how God made us? I think that's a pretty good idea. See, at the heart of what he's saying here is don't adorn yourself. Don't adorn yourself. And so what people can do is tweak these things, and all of a sudden we can do a whole bunch of stuff. And it's the same heart that's driving that thing, and it's maybe just not quite as eloquent. It's maybe just not quite as out there. But I'd like to suggest we have to come back to the heart. God simply made us to just have a simple, sweet simplicity. By the way, sisters and guys, I get these remarks. We go to places, New York City and various places, and there's people that comment about your open, simple, pure countenances. Yes. It's just, we get comments about that. It's not marred by all the sin. It's not, all the face painting and all the stuff that goes with that. The eyebrows and and by the way, I have to confess something. I have to confess something. I do some nose plucking. I have a couple hairs right on here that really bother me, and I pull those sometimes. So, but that's not what we're talking about, right? Okay. We're looking at just not having jewelry. We're looking at just staying away from all those kind of things. And I'm going to tell you that I get troubled sometimes. Sometimes we have maybe watch bands, and by the way, I do realize with the phones, there's not as much wearing of watches as there used to be. But sometimes there's watches or maybe there's eyeglasses. I think these things come into the same category. Dads, moms, let's be responsible when we buy eyeglasses for our children. When we buy, what was the other thing I mentioned? Watches. You know, those things can be a form of jewelry as well. They can. I'd like to just encourage us. Let's come down to the heart of simplicity. The heart of simplicity in all areas. Or fancy, stylish buckles on our belts. Those types of things. Or wedding bands. Okay, now, I'd like to keep moving here. But I'd like to just consider a couple scriptures in Isaiah. If you want to turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 47. We want to look at some scriptures that describe the children of Israel. It describes their harlotry. It describes their wickedness. And I want to just look at some of that. In Isaiah chapter 47, and this is a description of harlotry. Isaiah 47 verse 2 says, take the millstones and grind the meal. And then it says, uncover the locks. Can you tell me what the locks are?
The hair.
Uncover the locks. It's shameful. Make bare the leg. It's shameful. It's a part of harlotry. Uncover the thigh. It's a part of harlotry. Pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance and I will not meet thee as a man. So that's a description of harlotry. Now, I'd like to just continue to move on, and here's some other things that specifically, when it comes to adornment in clothing, and again, I want to come back to the heart of it. If we can somehow come back to the heart of everything, we have to come back to the heart of everything. But there's a couple things, there's two things that are specifically mentioned here. Two things that are specifically mentioned. Putting on of apparel and costly array. Putting on of apparel and costly array. Now, as I consider the idea of putting on of apparel. Putting on of apparel. It speaks to me of attiring ourselves in a way that makes myself look, putting on of apparel. Maybe I'll just describe it this way. Now, if I go into my closet and I count the amount of shirts that I have quite a number of them. And I think if we go around the circle here and ask, how many shirts do you have? How many shirts do you have? How many dresses do you have? Okay, now let me just tell you, we're not talking about the amount, but let me tell you, there are some who have come to the place where, you know, if I go to a certain type of gathering, this is the kind of attire I'm going to wear. And if I go to this kind of gathering, I'll wear, you know, this kind of garb. And if I go to this other kind of gathering, I'll wear this kind of clothing. And I'm going to say it comes into the category of putting on of apparel. Where I'm not talking about us having some nicer, cleaner clothes for church and for gatherings, you know. But it comes into to where we're going beyond what clothes was really meant to be. And I don't know where all those lines are. I really don't. I don't know where those lines are. But I like to just throw out this idea that for many, it's easy to go beyond in some of those things to where Scripture really teaches us to be at. I like to just say that. Putting on of apparel. The putting on of apparel. And I'm not sure where to go with all that. But I'd like to just maybe caution us to just come to a place of to where there can be a level of simplicity on the side of putting on of apparel. You know what I mean? I think we could have all kinds of discussion as to what that actually means. And I don't know that I can define all that. But I'd like to come back to the heart of it, right? What is the heart? The heart is that clothes are meant to cover. Clothes are meant. God gave us clothes. And we're going to look at more scriptures with that. But he gave us clothes to wear to cover our bodies. And it's not meant to adorn ourselves. Then, the other phrase that it has here is costly array. I'm shocked. I hear people in this community paying $100 for a shirt, $150 for a pair of pants. Astronomical amount of money for clothes that can be bought for a third of the price or a quarter of the price. Let me tell you, that is costly array, and the Bible says we should not do it. Now, if I could say this, if you ever wear those expensive clothes, they are fitted and designed and all that in a way that just it's just perfect. The shirts, the pants, everything's just made. It's just right, you know. Just and it feels good. And wow, it just right, you know. But the Bible says costly array, and it says we should not do it. But sometimes people do those crazy things for weddings and all kinds of stuff. And let me tell you, could I use the word, it's sin? Am I allowed to use that terminology? It's sin. It's erring from what Scripture says. Now, and, you know, it comes in so many ways, and expensive designer brand clothes. I think us men, I know for our sisters, they make their dresses, but I think for most of the men, they maybe buy their shirts and their pants. And I'm just going to say that we have to be pretty careful. We have to be pretty careful. Or we'll get into these things. And these things are, you know, what's at the heart of it? Simplicity and covering the body, right? Simplicity and covering the body. That's at the heart of it. Okay. And let me just read the scripture to talk about that. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, of wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel. In Timothy it says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Now, I'm going to bring up another thing this word casual or formal. And I'm not sure what to do with it all. Casual or formal. It used to be that any time that there was church or any time that there was anything really special, people would really dress up in dress clothes, suit coat. In fact, we were over in other countries here just not so long ago, and in some of these other countries, even the man out by the guardhouse wore a suit coat. Hot, 95 degrees, and he wore a suit coat because he was a man at the guardhouse. He had a position. Okay. Now, I know that we don't necessarily wear suit coats that much here, and I guess I'm not promoting that, okay? I'm not here to promote that at all. But there's a point I want to make. I'm going to say that I think some of those things can soon come into the costly array thing where we spend a lot of money into that, okay? So I'm not promoting that, okay? But I come over here and I see on the casual side that we have come, okay? There is among the people here in America, people come to wear, they wear a t-shirt and a suit coat, right? And you go to church with jeans and a t-shirt, or I don't know. Are you following what I'm saying? There's a shift, and you know, and rather than being real formal, it's real casual. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, I don't know that I want to be in either ditch. But somewhere we need to be at a place where we can be respectful. And let's not get into the casual part, and let's not get over here into, you know, where we're into all this costly array either. You know, are you following that? And it seems like if we don't talk about these things, all of a sudden, it's like we're wearing anything, anywhere. It's just, and we have this casual, cool spirit that is wrong. I hope you follow the heart of that, right? You know, are you following what I'm trying to say there? Okay. Now, this clock keeps moving faster than I do, but let's move very quickly. There's a couple things that I want to just look at. another heading I have here is Principles of Godly Dress from Genesis. And I don't want to spend much time here, but I'd like for us to just get the heart of what happened here in a very quick manner. When Adam and Eve discovered, that they were naked, Adam and Eve went, and they quickly got some fig leaves, they sewed them together, and they made themselves aprons. Okay, did you hear that? They took fig leaves, sewed them together, and they made themselves aprons. Gives me the idea of shorts, right? Okay? When God came along, God looked at it, and he knew why they did it, because of their shame. It seems like people don't barely have that type of shame anymore today. God looked at him, and God then went, and he took some skins, animal skins, and he made them, rather than an apron, he made them coats. And if you consider the difference of how much a coat covered rather than an apron, do you follow that? And if you look at the consistency and how much it covered and didn't display the body, the coat did a much better job than what the apron did, or the fig leaves. There's a principle there. God covered Adam and Eve.
We need to keep that in mind when we cover ourselves. It was important to God. It was. He was not satisfied with what Adam and Eve did, and he covered them. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Verse 21 of Genesis chapter 3. Unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Coats of skins. Now, there's another verse in Revelation that I think we do well by just bringing in here. Revelation chapter 1, it describes how the Son of Man was clothed. Revelation chapter 1, verse 13 says, And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot. So how was the Son of Man dressed? He was clothed down to the foot. Do you think that gives us any ideas to how we should be dressed? I think it does. I think it does. And girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Now, I want to just take just couple minutes here yet, and I like to describe how Scripture defines, or it does give, it clearly tells us that women should wear a dress. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, if you want to just turn there with me, I think we should just turn there, 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2, in verse 9, we're going to read these words. It says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in. Now, there's two words that I want to look at here. Modest apparel. Modest apparel. Modest means well-arranged. Seemly, orderly, well-arranged. I think sometimes the way that we use modest today, we don't really know what all that means. But the word modest means appropriate, well-arranged, something that's appropriate and well-arranged for who you are. Are we a rapper? No. Are we a cowboy? No. Are we a president? No. Are we a firefighter? Well, I don't think we have any here, but maybe when we're out fighting fires, you need to put on your garb, right? Put it on. If you're an EMT, you know, put your garb on, right? What are we? We're a child of God. We're a child of God. We need to arrange ourselves and dress ourselves in an appropriate way for a God-fearing man or a woman that represents, and clearly people can look at us and they see, oh, there's a simplistic God, there's something there. He is different. She is different. It represents Christ and the holiness and the purity of Christ. Okay? It's modesty. Okay, now let's look at the next word, apparel. Modest apparel. Apparel. That word apparel means a lowering or a letting down. A garment let down, a dress. Actually, we use the word dress. That is the Greek definition of apparel. So, is it okay for a woman to wear pants rather than a dress? A according to this definition, it's not okay. And I just come back and just simply say, for men and women, clothes that we wear, the dresses you have, I mean, make them loose enough. Make them loose enough. Make them loose enough. Don't the material that you use make that it doesn't grab attention to yourself. If it grabs attention to yourself, it's not filling the principles in God's word. Use simplicity. Stay away from things that beautify. You know, you can put all kinds of extra things in dresses and all kinds of extra things in skirts and all kinds of, you know, you name it. What's the heart of it? Simplicity, holiness, Christ-likeness. Being at a place where it doesn't draw attention to myself. So I can be at a place that I can have a meek and a quiet spirit, that I can be humble, and that I represent Christ, the one who I serve. Lord, help us with all that. Lord, help us. So, blessings to you all. Yes, brother. Okay, good, thank you. I think that verse there, it can easily, in my opinion, it refers to that. It just doesn't have the specific terminology for it. So, I'm totally with all that. It, to me, that's what it means. But, you know, if people get technical on the actual wording in the English language, it's not there. So, yeah, thank you. All right, I trust, yes, Brother Joel. Yes. I think it's, I would take the square neck versus round. I think some of those things can be preference, although if that gets too big, somehow it has to be at a place where it, you know, where it doesn't expose your neck on down, I would take it that a square neck versus round is like some other things, I don't know that I'd make a big thing one way or the other, but it needs to be and not too big. I don't know, there's preferences either way. I think there's a lot of those types of things that, I think there can be some variation, square versus round, different things. I think there can be, some space given if it's at a place that it's clearly following the principle, Thank you. But I feel like, I feel like there's a trend or a tendency toward necklines and all those kind of things to get bigger and bigger. And I feel moms and dads, I think we just need to be responsible, keep those things at a where it's not exposing, where we're clearly being covered properly. Good. Thank you.